9. Walking the grave. I wish to think that had I not been under sorrow's thumb, I would have seen earlier the approaching dangers. Yet in all honesty, I'm not certain anything could have been done. From the Journal of Novani Kolin, Yesisach, 1174.
Kaladin led the way down into the chasms, as was his right. They used a rope ladder, as they had in Satius's army. Those ladders had been unsavory things, the ropes frayed and stained with moss, the planks battered by far too many high storms. Kaladin had never lost a man because of those storming ladders, but he'd always worried. This one was brand new. He knew that for a fact, as Rind, the quartermaster, had scratched his head at the request and then had one built to Kaladin's specifications. It was sturdy and well-made, like Dalinar's army itself. Kaladin reached the bottom with a final hop. Syl floated down and landed on his shoulder as he held up a sphere to survey the chasm bottom. The single sapphire brome was worth more by itself than the entirety of his wages as a bridgeman. In Satius's army, the chasms had been a frequent destination for bridgemen. Kaladin still didn't know if the purpose had been to scavenge every possible resource from the shattered plains, or if it had really been about finding something menial and will-breaking for bridgemen to do between runs. The chasm bottom here, however, was untouched. There were no paths cut through the snarl of storm leavings on the ground, and there were no scratched messages or instructions in the lichen on the walls. Like the other chasms, this one opened up like a vase, wider at the bottom than at the cracked top, a result of waters rushing through during high storms. The floor was relatively flat, smoothed by the hardened sediment of settling creme. As he moved forward, Kaladin had to pick his way over all kinds of debris, broken sticks and logs from trees blown in from across the plains, cracked rockbud shells, countless tangles of dried vines, twisted through one another like discarded yarn. And bodies, of course. A lot of corpses ended up in the chasms. Whenever men lost their battle to seize a plateau, they had to retreat and leave their dead behind. Storms. Satius often left the corpses behind even if he won, and bridgemen he'd leave wounded, abandoned, even if they could have been saved. After a high storm, the dead ended up here in the chasms. And since storms blew westward, toward the war camps, the bodies washed in this direction. Kaladin found it hard to move without stepping on bones entwined in the accumulated foliage on the chasm floor. He picked his way through as respectfully as he could, as rock reached the bottom behind him, uttering a quiet phrase in his native tongue. Kaladin couldn't tell if it was a curse or a prayer. Syl moved from Kaladin's shoulder, zipping into the air, then streaking in an arc to the ground. There, she formed into what he thought of as her true shape, that of a young woman with a simple dress that frayed to mist just below the knees. She perched on a branch and stared at a femur poking up through the moss. She didn't like violence. He wasn't certain if, even now, she understood death. She spoke of it like a child trying to grasp something beyond her.
"What a mess," Teft said as he reached the bottom. "Bah! This place hasn't seen any kind of care at all."
"It is a grave," Rock said. "We walk in the grave."
"All of the chasms are graves," Teft said, his voice echoing in the dank confines. "This one's just a messy grave."
"Hard to find death that isn't messy, Teft," Kaladin said. Teft grunted, then started to greet the new recruits as they reached the bottom. Moash and Scar were watching over Dalinar and his sons as they attended some light-eyed feast, something that Kaladin was glad to be able to avoid. Instead, he'd come with Teft down here. They were joined by the 40 bridgemen, two from each reorganized crew that Teft was training with the hope that they'd make good sergeants for their own crews.
"Take a good look, lads," Teft said to them. "This is where we come from. This is why some call us the Order of Bone.
We're not going to make you go through everything we did and be glad. We could have been swept away by a high storm at any moment. Now, with Dalinar Kholin's storm wardens to guide us, we won't have nearly as much risk, and we'll be staying close to the exit just in case.
Kaladin folded his arms, watching Teft instruct as Rock handed practice spears to the men. Teft himself carried no spear, and though he was shorter than the bridgemen who gathered around him, wearing simple soldiers' uniforms, they seemed thoroughly intimidated.
What else did you expect? Kaladin thought. They're bridgemen. A stiff breeze could quell them.
Still, Teft looked completely in control. Comfortably so. This was right. Something about it was just right. A swarm of small glowing orbs materialized around Kaladin's head, spread the shape of golden spheres that darted this way and that. He started, looking at them. Glory spread. Storms. He felt as if he hadn't seen the like in years. Syl zipped up into the air and joined them, giggling and spinning around Kaladin's head.
Feeling proud of yourself?
Teft, Kaladin said. He's a leader.
Of course he is. You gave him a rank, didn't you?
No, Kaladin said. I didn't give it to him. He claimed it. Come on, let's walk.
She nodded, alighting in the air and settling down, her legs crossed at the knees as if she were primly seating herself in an invisible chair. She continued to hover there, moving exactly in step with him.
Giving up all pretense of obeying natural laws again, I see, he said.
Natural laws?
Syl said, finding the concept amusing.
Laws are of men, Kaladin. Nature doesn't have them.
If I toss something upward, it comes back down.
Except when it doesn't.
It's a law.
No,
Syl said, looking upward.
It's more like an agreement among friends.
He looked at her, raising an eyebrow.
We have to be consistent, she said, leaning in conspiratorially. Or we'll break your brains.
He snorted, walking around a clump of bones and sticks pierced by a spear. Cankered with rust, it looked like a monument.
Oh, come on, Syl said, tossing her hair. That was worth at least a chuckle.
Kaladin kept walking.
A snort is not a chuckle, Syl said. I know this because I am intelligent and articulate. You should compliment me now.
Dalinar Kholin wants to refound the Knight's Radiant.
Yes,
Syl said loftily, hanging in the corner of his vision.
A brilliant idea. I wish I'd thought of it.
She grinned triumphantly, then scowled.
What? He said, turning back to her.
Has it ever struck you as unfair, she said, that Spren cannot attract Spren? I should really have had some glory Spren of my own there.
I have to protect Dalinar, Kaladin said, ignoring her complaint. Not just him, but his family, maybe the king himself, even though I failed to keep someone from sneaking into Dalinar's rooms.
He still couldn't figure out how someone had managed to get in, unless it hadn't been a person.
Could a Spren have made those numbers on the wall?
Syl had carried a leaf once. She had some physical form, just not much.
I don't know, she said, glancing to the side. I've seen...
What?
Spren like red lightning, Syl said softly. Dangerous Spren. Spren I haven't seen before. I catch them in the distance on occasion. Storm Spren? Something dangerous is coming. About that, the numbers are right.
He chewed on that for a while, then finally stopped and looked at her.
Syl, are there others like me?
Her face grew solemn.
Oh.
Oh?
Oh, that question.
You've been expecting it, then?
Yeah, sort of.
So you've had plenty of time to think about a good answer,
Kaladin said, folding his arms and leaning back against a somewhat dry portion of the wall. That makes me wonder if you've come up with a solid explanation, or a solid lie.
Lie? Syl said, aghast. Kaladin, what do you think I am? A cryptic?
And what is a cryptic? Syl, still perched as if on a seat, sat up straight and cocked her head.
I actually have no idea.
Huh. Syl.
I'm serious, Kaladin. I don't know. I don't remember.
She grabbed her hair, one clump of white translucence in each hand, and pulled sideways.
He frowned, then pointed.
That?
I saw a woman do it in the market,
Syl said, yanking her hair to the sides again.
It means I'm frustrated. I think it's supposed to hurt. So, ow? Anyway, it's not that I don't want to tell you what I know. I do. I don't know what I know.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, imagine how frustrating it feels.
Kaladin sighed, then continued along the chasm, passing pools of stagnant water clotted with debris. A scattering of enterprising rock buds grew stunted along one chasm wall. They must not get much light down here. He breathed in deeply the sense of overloaded life, moss and mold. Most of the bodies here were mere bone, though he did steer clear of one patch of ground crawling with the red dots of rotspren. Just beside it, a group of frill blooms wafted their delicate fan-like fronds in the air, and those danced with green specks of lifespren. Life and death shook hands here in the chasms. He explored several of the chasm's branching paths. It felt odd to not know this area. He'd learned the chasms closest to Sadius's camp better than the camp itself. As he walked, the chasm grew deeper and the area opened up. He made a few marks on the wall. Along one fork he found a round, open area with little debris. He noted it, then walked back, marking the wall again before taking another branch. Eventually they entered another place where the chasm opened up, widening into a roomy space.
"Coming here was dangerous," Syl said.
"Into the chasms?" Kaladin asked. "There aren't going to be any chasm fiends this close to the war camps."
No, I meant for me, coming into this realm before I found you. It was dangerous.
Where were you before?
Another place, with lots of spren. I can't remember well. It had lights in the air, living lights.
Like lifespren?
Yes and no. Coming here risked death. Without you... Without a mind born of this realm, I couldn't think. Alone, I was just another windspren.
But you're not windspren, Kaladin said, kneeling beside a large pool of water. You're honorspren.
Yes,
Syl said. Kaladin closed his hand around his sphere, bringing near darkness to the cavernous space. It was day above, but that crack of sky was distant, unreachable. Mountains of flood-borne refuse fell into shadows that seemed almost to give them flesh again. Heaps of bones took on the semblance of limp arms, of corpses piled high. In a moment, Kaladin remembered it, charging with a yell toward the lines of Parshendi archers, his friends dying on barren plateaus, thrashing in their own blood. The thunder of hooves on stone, the incongruous chanting of alien tongues, the cries of men, both light-eyed and dark. A world that cared nothing for bridgemen. They were refuse. Sacrifices to be cast into the chasms and carried away by the cleansing floods. This was their true home. These rents in the earth. These places lower than any other. As his eyes adjusted to the dimness, the memories of death receded. Though he would never be free of them. He would forever bear those scars upon his memory, like the many upon his flesh, like the ones on his forehead. The pool in front of him glowed a deep violet. He'd noticed it earlier, but in the light of his sphere it had been harder to see. Now, in the dimness, the pool could reveal its eerie radiance. Syl landed on the side of the pool, looking like a woman standing on an ocean's shore. Kaladin frowned, leaning down to inspect her more closely. She seemed different. Had her face changed shape?
There are others like you, Syl whispered. I do not know them, but I know that other Spren are trying, in their own way, to reclaim what was lost.
She looked to him, and her face now had its familiar form. The fleeting change had been so subtle Kaladin wasn't sure if he'd imagined it.
I am the only honor Spren who has come, Syl said.
She seemed to be stretching to remember.
I was forbidden. I came anyway, to find you.
You knew me?
No, but I knew I'd find you.
She smiled.
I spent the time with my cousins, searching.
The Windspren.
Without the bond, I am basically one of them, she said. Though they don't have the capacity to do what we do. And what we do is important. So important that I left everything, defying the Stormfather to come. You saw him. In the storm.
The hair stood up on Kaladin's arms. He had indeed seen a being in the storm. A face as vast as the sky itself. Whatever the thing was, Spren, Herald, or God, it had not tempered its storms for Kaladin during that day he'd spent strung up.
We are needed, Kaladin, Syl said softly.
She waved for him, and he lowered his hand to the shore of the tiny violet ocean glowing softly in the chasm. She stepped onto his hand, and he stood, lifting her. She walked up his fingers, and he could actually feel a little weight, which was unusual. He turned his hand as she stepped up until she was perched on one finger, her hands clasped behind her back, meeting his eyes as he held that finger up before his face.
You,
Syl said.
You're going to need to become what Dalinar Kholin is looking for. Don't let him search in vain.
They'll take it from me, Syl, Kaladin whispered. They'll find a way to take you from me.
That's foolishness. You know that is.
I know it is, but I feel it isn't. They broke me, Syl. I'm not what you think I am. I'm no Radiant.
That's not what I saw, Syl said. On the battlefield after Sadeus's betrayal, when men were trapped, abandoned. That day I saw a hero.
He looked into her eyes. She had pupils, though they were created only from the differing shades of white and blue, like the rest of her. She glowed more softly than the weakest of spheres, but it was enough to light his finger. She smiled, seeming utterly confident in him. At least one of them was.
I'll try, Kaladin whispered, a promise.
Kaladin!
The voice was Rox, with his distinctive horn-eater accent. He pronounced the name Kaladin instead of the normal Kaladin. Syl zipped off Kaladin's finger, becoming a ribbon of light and flitting over to Rock. He showed respect to her in his horn-eater way, touching his shoulders in turn with one hand and then raising the hand to his forehead. She giggled. Her profound solemnity had become girlish joy in moments. Syl might only be a cousin to Windspren, but she obviously shared their impish nature. Hey, Kaladin said, nodding to Rock and fishing in the pool. He came out with an amethyst brome and held it up. Somewhere up there on the plains, a Light Eyes had died with this in his pocket.
Riches, if we were still bridgemen.
We are still bridgemen, Rock said, coming over.
He plucked the sphere from Kaladin's fingers.
And this is still riches. Ha! Spices they have for us to requisition are Tuma Alki. I have promised I will not fix dung for the men. But it is hard with soldiers being accustomed to food that is not much better.
He held up the sphere.
I will use him to buy better, eh?
Sure, Kaladin said. Syl landed on Rock's shoulder and became a young woman, then sat down. Rock eyed her and tried to bow to his own shoulder.
Stop tormenting him, Syl, Kaladin said.
It's so fun.
You ought to be praised for your aid of us, Mafaliki, Rock said to her. I will endure whatever you wish of me. And now that I am free, I can create a shrine fitting to you.
A shrine? Syl said, eyes widening.
Ooh.
Syl, Kaladin said. Stop it. Rock, I saw a good place for the men to practice. It's back a couple of branches. I marked it on the walls.
Yes, we saw this thing, Rock said. Teft has led the men there. It is strange. This place is frightening. It is a place that nobody comes, and yet the new recruits...
They're opening up, Kaladin guessed.
Yes. How did you know this thing would happen?
They were there, Kaladin said, in Sarius's war camp when we were assigned to exclusive duty in the chasms. They saw what we did, and have heard stories of our training here. By bringing them down here, we're inviting them in. Like an initiation. Teft had been having problems getting the former bridgeman to show interest in his training. The old soldier was always sputtering at them in annoyance. They'd insisted on remaining with Kaladin rather than going free, so why wouldn't they learn? They had needed to be invited. Not just with words.
Yes, well, Rock said. Sigzel sent me. He wishes to know if you are ready to practice your abilities.
Kaladin took a deep breath, glancing at Syl, then nodded. Yes, bring him. We can do it here.
Ha! Finally, I will fetch him.